you know, the only thing I can really tell you is do, don't just succumb. Don't wait. Don't think someone's going to do something. Don't do anything. Apply yourself, come up with a cohesive plan, an idea, pursue it. Don't go halfway, whether that be physically, mentally, spiritually, whatever it is, all those things all add up.
Do you need encouragement to turn tragedies into your own triumphant life story? If so, this podcast is for you. Listen to powerful guests who have persevered through challenges so you can gain strength to build your championship life. The host of Professor of Perseverance Podcast, Dr. James Perdue.
Welcome to the Professor of Perseverance. I'm Dr. James Perdue, the Professor of Perseverance himself. September 3rd, Spinal Cord Injury Awareness Month. And again, I know I said yesterday, I'm trying to stop saying the prevent injuries, what it should be. It should be Spinal Cord Prevent Injury Awareness. You know, let a bunch of us come on, share our stories, share how we kicked spinal cord in its butt, and then we moved on in life. We didn't give up. So I said yesterday I would try to stop saying it should be prevent injury, but I'll probably do it the whole time we do it. Come on this month. Hey, our guest today, you're going to love him. He goes by the Angry Quad. Check him out, man. He is creative with his YouTube channel. I love the creativity he uses with it. And he gives a bunch of information, and he tells people, get off your ass and do something. That's what we need to do, is get off our ass and go do something from there. But his name is Sean McCartney, the Angry Quad. Let's get him on here. Well, he's already on here. I didn't even do the, like I normally do. Hey, he's already there. The Angry Quad, Sean. Hey, buddy. Thank you for coming on today.
How are you?
So we're doing about what we can today. How are you today?
Not too bad. Not too bad. Woke up really early this morning, finished up a video, then went back to bed, fell back to sleep. You know, once the Acadia schedule gets a little messed up, it's just it takes you a minute to get your bearings back. But all in all, healthy as a horse, big boy, healthy as a horse.
There we go. I'm as healthy as a Clydesdale, but I'm trying to get her down to a regular horse.
Well, I'm a pony, so, you know, maybe
that's right. That's right.
More of a bucking bronco.
There you go.
That's my
story. Hey, we got Nancy in already here. Hey, Nancy, thank you.
Nancy,
this is Sean here, the Angry Quad. So if you got any questions, he'd love to interact with you and talk to you and answer your question. All right, Sean, Angry Quad. You know, I've known you now here probably right at a year, and we've communicated. You've helped me with the issue with my UTI. Man, I tell you, the formula you're putting together, We can talk a little bit about, but also with that T is really made a difference.
I would like to take some credit for it, but it really was, you know, Mother Nature and just, you know, it's, if you don't know something, you don't know something. So, you know, until, you know, we share different things, the guy I had told you about was the guy that made this stuff, the Comfort T. And this, let me tell you something, this has kept me out of the hospital several times. You know, the Comfort Tea, it's really, I don't know what it is, but, you know, Kepler was the guy that I wanted you to get in touch with. Hopefully you did. He had gone through something reminiscent to what your problem was. And, you know, if you haven't gotten in touch with him, I really suggest you make that call because he's a lot smarter than I am. And, you know, the thing that I did with the eucalyptus and everything else like that, that was out of desperation, and I had gone through a couple things because, you know, going through UTIs every 3-4 months, you know, infection, quadriplegia, I think we both know the direction that, you know, that's a problem in this community. And the debility that it actually brings to you is one thing, but, you know, also there are people that don't quite make it that far. So if we could avoid... It's better than, you know, getting rid of the problem than, you know, having to deal with it.
Exactly. Many, many moons ago, the number one killer for spinal cord injuries was UTI.
Yeah.
They didn't have all the antibiotics that they have today. So now the number one killer is not enough exercise. So if it's not one thing, it's another. We'll go from there. All right. Now, as long as I've known you now, I've never really asked you or got your true story on how you became a quad. So if you can enlighten us with that, please.
Fair enough. Believe it or not, I feel like a bit of a, you know, a knucklehead when I do think about this, considering my background. I was a contractor for 35 years. I've been ran over. I've fallen off roofs, out of trees. I've been hit by two-by material. I've been knocked around with backhoes, fallen into irrigation ditches. I've fallen into, you know, footings. I should be dead 15 times. Got up to use the bathroom one night. Used the facilities, came back. I was in actually a good mood. I had a nice day lined up for the next day. Had everything all on site and everything else like that. And when I came back to bed, I went to hop up on the corner of my bed. My bed was one of the ones that are up a little bit higher. Nothing crazy. But I zigged when I should have zagged. And instead of bouncing up and going right on my bed, I went over, hit my hip, ass over tea kettle, came down directly on top of my back, on top of my head, and I heard the strangest noise I've ever heard in my life. Floor like a sack of dead cats, and I knew that second I was screwed. I was like, oh, this cannot be good. And my wife, who was in bed, she was just like, are you all right? I'm like, no, no. And brings me to where I am now.
Brings you where you're at today. It's amazing what a lot of stuff that seems to come across becoming any type of spinal cord injury is some type of what they call freak accidents. You know, even that day that I was playing football, but we didn't have any helmets on. We weren't playing with pads, but we were playing tackle football. Any other day, you know, played a million times, nothing happens. Yeah. And then actually I was walking out of the game. I said, I'm done playing for today. And then they said, we need someone to run the ball. I said, all right, I'll come back for one more play.
Oh, the old
that one play. Exactly. That one play. If I'd have kept going, where would I be at today? So.
Yeah. You know, it's, you know, playing tackle football as a kid and stuff like that. It was always fun getting a good lick on somebody. You know what I mean? Or, you know, when you see somebody who takes you out from your blind side. You know, it's what you do. It's, you know, it's rough and tumble plays. You know, it's part of growing up.
Oh, yeah, exactly. And so, you know, being brought up the way I was, we weren't shy of going out and adventuring. We felt we were invincible. So, you know,
you weren't invincible.
Yeah, we weren't, but we just felt it.
Right up until you're not.
That's right. And then we find out that my nemesis, Superman with the... What's that green thing? He's a kryptonite. Yeah. My kryptonite was definitely one more play.
you always hear that's one of the taboos in the service. You know, let's do one more mission or let's do one more thing. It's like, you know, it's like that unspoken rule that you don't speak about those things.
That's right. Yes. Captain Charlie Plum, I interviewed a few months ago. He was on his 75th and last mission flying in the Vietnam War, a 75th mission and his last, and he got shot down and he became a prisoner of war for nearly 6 years.
I think I'm pretty sure I saw that. I didn't see it live. A lot of the stuff that you do, you'll send me a link from time to time and stuff like that. But from the training and all the stuff that I find myself involved in all the time, I always just like, don't die. Yeah. Let me see what he was doing anyway.
There you go. I appreciate that. So catch a view here. So all right. Now let's go into this. Being active, being construction. Now, when you told me construction, that explains to me now why you're so hands on building things and trying to create a new way, easier way to do things. So that explains the contractor that you would do that. Is there any times that you've been through you fought through a depression, or does it bounce back and forth, or are you one of them that says, shit, screw this, let's just go on in with life the best we can?
Well, I'm certainly one of the ones that say screw this, because I do it every day. I pretty much wake up every day and I go like this, God damn it. You know, I thought today was going to be the day I just bounce up and go. So I start the day and I'm like, You get a little bit of cloak, you know, of that darkness. And all of a sudden you're like, all right, those are the rules. Let's go. You know, let me check my options. I don't have any. All right. That means today we fight as hard as we did yesterday, if not harder. However, I will say for the first year of my injury, and it sounds a little strange. However, I thought of more ways of killing myself than I did putting my shoes on. You know, when I was originally injured, they had the side lateral supports. I had strapping. If I raised my hands over my head, I was, you know, flopping around left and right, you know, so it was, you know, for all practical purposes, Doc, you know, there are people that are born with serious, you know, problems and everything else like that. But for the majority, most of us, you know, we have the normal, you know, existence. We're all able to function and stuff like that. We have a tendency to take our abilities for granted. Very much like you're saying, you know, you were just talking about, you know, I was going in for one more play and, you know, you don't think about it. You know, I didn't think I was going to get up and bounce off the bed and end up in this situation. But it's funny. I mean, not funny like haha, peculiar that when things that you do and take for granted, you build an expectation for certain things. You no longer really express the appreciation that you should have. And you don't appreciate it until that shit just ain't around no more. Then all of a sudden you're like, what? And in order to really bring yourself in and reel yourself in, there are certain degrees of emotion that you do go through. And depression is the biggest, darkest, meanest, most stormy cloud you have ever seen. And getting through it, over that first, you know, initial shock of what is extremely difficult. Anybody tells you they've been through something like this and they haven't experienced some form of depression, they're lying. And that will repeat itself again and again and again, because there are those of us that have gone through, you know, we end up with TBIs, with the traumatic brain injuries, where maybe your memory is off a little bit. My memory is sharp as a knife. So, I remember everything. And there are times when I think of certain things, you know, with my wife, you know, things that we would do, you know, simply just taking a walk on the beach or something like that. She's an old, you know, she's a little beach bunny. So, you know, that's something that we actually like to do. I mean, as, you know, as goofy as it may sound, you know, walking down the beach in Belmar, New Jersey, good time. But you don't really appreciate it until it's gone. And when you think about it from time to time, you will experience some depression. And it's inevitable. You keep this sharp and you can get this to do things that you wouldn't think you could possibly do. The way it is. And I think that's just, it's inevitable, really, is the way it is.
Yep. Jan's hopped in. Say hello to everybody. So thank you, Jan, for coming in. And then here she is. So true. People take too many things for granted. And that is, and Nancy, she's albino and legally blind. And she said she used to always get depressed and everything like that as well. So, yeah, get out of them dark clouds, that's for sure. So, well, Sean, I'm glad that you just had the thoughts of the suicide, that you really did get out and attempt. My younger stages, I had the thoughts as well, but later in life, I did attempt. So, you know, it's just part of my story, and I'm glad we're here now. I'm glad I'm out of that big fog, you know, and then, you used to hear people say, well, James, you just need to get over and move on. We just can't get over what's happening. You've got to work it out somehow. So you just can't hop out and go from there.
Yeah, you have to be extremely instrumental in your recovery. You know, more than just fit. You know, people only see the physical part. There's more going up in here than there is here.
Yeah, I agree with you. As long as you keep what's going up here, staying active and sharp and everything, it's going to help you more down here, like you said, than, well, you know, just the thing, you know, someone is negative, 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 then they're not even going to try as hard, because first time they try, they're going to say, I knew I couldn't do that. And then instead of trying 40 times and finally figuring out a way to do it, they're giving up after the, you know, second time.
Yeah, well, that's one of the rules of mastery. You know, a lot of people think, you know, you got to put in your 10,000 hours to be good at something or something like that, which if you think about it, it's actually like 5 working years, 40 hours a week, 50 weeks a year. You know, it takes some time to get good. And that whole, you know, 1, 2, 3 strikes, you're out, doesn't apply in this, because you're going to have, you're going to need 55,000 strikes sometimes to get, you know, that much ability, or just, you know, like the little engine, I think I can. You can keep thinking, but until you achieve that, you don't really know for certain.
That's right. Now, next question here. Now, the misses, you have been blessed with the misses. Whew. Very blessed with the misses. I haven't actually met her yet. I've just seen her on screen a few times, but never really got to say hello to her. But
I'm assuming,
yeah, bring her in, let everybody else meet her.
Hey, babe.
Yeah, let everybody else meet her. So what I was going to ask is, we all have some type of support system, some not as good as others. I'm assuming with her, you've got a great support system.
Hey, babe. You want to stick your face in for a sec? No. She is my support system. Beginning, middle, and end. Everything else is just secondary. Hey, man.
Hey, what?
Now, she is the missus. We would have been married by now. However, this is Mary.
Hey, Mrs. AQ.
James.
Hey, how are you?
I'm blessed, thank you. So, well, we were just talking about the sports system, and I know he has mentioned that he's very blessed that you tolerate him.
It's a two-way street, you know?
Yeah. Hey, it's really strange. She was a teacher for 30 years, and I know you're in education, so there's a lot of similarities there and a lot of commonalities. You know, it really is. It's, you're pretty much starting a new life over again, you know? And like I said, without her, I'm worm food. It's not even a thought. You know, the idea of, you know, I had to start my entire life over again. And then the reason that I was able to actually do it right here, I had a lot of, you know, you have a lot of friends prior to an injury. And, you know, once something of this magnitude actually hits, you realize who your friends are, who your friends aren't, and you meet new people that, you know, are going through pretty much the same little dilemma that you are. And rather interesting ride, I must admit.
You find out who your friends are real quick, especially when you can't do for them like you used to. You know, like construction, if they said, hey, Sean, I need you to help me fix this hole in my garage, or it's leaning, can you help straighten it up? And you're over there breaking your back and helping them. And then when you can't do that, that's how fast they hang around. So, yeah, I've learned that before, too.
Yeah, you learn your worth to others, you know. And it's, you know, also at the same time, you have to understand, they pretty much, it's, you're getting onto your new life. They're just continuing with their old, you know, and it's funny because you find out that, you know, at least I did, is that when I want to see people or when I wanted to do something, I went and I did it. I just, you know, it's so, I sort of bought myself to them more so, you know, I interjected my life into theirs. And from time to time, there was, you know, the reciprocation, but I found that I did that. I did the majority of the moving only because just what I did, you know?
Well, yeah. And I don't blame my friends for moving on because, you know, they were getting, you know, cause I was 19, got hurt. So they're dating, looking for the future spouse, children. I mean, like I said, they were going on with life where, and I tell people the life that I knew as died, gone, buried, and a new life begin. Yes. Like you were saying as well. Hey, Jan saying hello to the missus.
Hi.
That's Jan, baby.
Jan. And we got Nick. Hey, Nick Welsh. Hey, thank you for coming in, buddy. Thank you for coming
on, Nick.
Everybody. And then John Bentley's back again. Thank you, John. Appreciate your support here. you mentioned that you went through, you know, somewhat of an adjustment mentally, and you finally you got through it some time, however long it took. How do you make yourself stay positive? What motivates you to try to stay positive? I'm sure you have your days where you want to go kick the wall, but you have to stare at it and mentally kick it. But I know you have your days. But in the overall picture, I know that you stay positive. So what drives you to do that? There you go.
No, seriously, you know, there's several things that you have to keep in touch with and stuff like that, you know, both mentally and physically. A, you have to have some type of purpose. You have to have a reason to wake up in the morning.
Exactly.
This is what wakes me up. But then I use that as like a fulcrum to get on with what it is I've been thinking about or whatever it is. And, you know, we all, no matter the level of injury, severity of injury and stuff like that, for the most part, we can all think. And as long as you can think, you can also maybe not, you know, your physical action on whatever your thoughts may be, maybe a little not quite up to speed as what they used to be. However, you have to go about and apply your thoughts, take action to those thoughts, whether that be making phone calls and lining up, you know, like perhaps friends and things of that nature that, you know, you can take a little bit from here that you need, a little bit from there that you need, a little bit over here. And you can put those things together if you come up with a plan of action and then you have a coherent plan and you understand that you need A, B, and C. And then, you know, you almost have to be the general contractor of your own life again by putting those pieces together. That's something that I've found, you know, I'll use a word that is so incredibly not me, but you have to be patient in that. And that's just, it's never been my thing. And it's really, to this point, still not my thing.
It's getting better though. There you go. Good. And so
I don't have any options.
I know you complimented me on my patience, but I had to learn to be patient and learn to accept people doing for me. I had to learn that. There was one time I'd probably been in a wheelchair 4 or 5 years maybe, and my brothers went out to go wash my car. I mean, they washed it. I didn't ask them. They just out of their mind went to go wash it. It needed it, but they were. And then instead of me, when I go out there to look, instead of me going, damn, thank you, it looks a lot better, dumbass me points at the bottom, says, well, y'all forgot the bottom right there. Y'all didn't reach that. Oh, they let me know in a hurry that I had the wrong attitude, that I should be thankful for what they did, not for what they didn't. Oh, that was a big lesson for me.
They, you know, it's easy to find mistakes in anything. You know, but that's one of the things, the different energies that go through you. You know, you have your positivity and then you have your negativity. Negativity. It's easy to be pessimistic towards something and then sit there and be like, well, you know, I'm just being real. I'm just being the guy, you know, I'm just pointing out the, you know, the thing that really sticks out. But once again, that goes into that appreciation. You know what I mean? You expect someone to do the same job to the same quality and anything else that you're going to do. It's never going to happen. It might be better than what you do, but you find things that are better than what you do. And then you have a problem with that, you know? So it's really just one of those things. But, you know, once again, it's going back to that appreciation.
Yeah. Now you mentioned earlier, and I agree with this, you know, 1,002%. That you got to be able to find your purpose. You got to be able to determine why I'm here. What do I need to do? What do I need to do? What's going on? You know, I got to find my purpose, my goal, my main thing. All right. Now, I know one of your passions also is the purpose. I know part of your passion is you like to do research so you can help the following next spinal cord injury from tomorrow till they finally find a cure. And I know you said, tell us about some of your research that you participated in.
Yeah, that's one of those, where do we start? And, you know, I've been involved, I think actually yesterday I did some stuff. We were doing pupil tracking and stuff like that. They're trying to make it so computers for people with, you know, upper limb extremities, you know, inabilities, make it so you can use a computer just with your eyes, you know, sort of like, you know, one of the biggest, most famous quadriplegics obviously is Christopher Reeves. He's the one that brought more attention to it. And I tell you, I know it's going to sound a little disturbed, but if more celebrities were all busted up, I guarantee we'd get a lot more action out of things.
I've said the same thing.
Yeah, but however, with the pupil tracking and everything else, I absolutely found it fascinating. But they've hung me off of, you know, weight support systems, put on treadmills. We've done blood pressure things. I did 40 miles in the exobionic robotic walking device.
Awesome.
I've done cognition training, transcranial magnetic stimulation. They're trying to figure out a way to zap the motor cortex and get the body to move. And after they do that, that will strengthen the signal going from point A to point wherever it's got to go. So, but some of the thing, I got to tell you, anybody that's interested in making serious improvements, research is the way to go. You are, for the most part, you're in school. You learn more things about yourself and more things about parts of, you know, anatomy and physiology than you would in a lifetime. And it's just so incredibly important, you know, yeah. And very much. It's really, you got to look past yourself on those things, you know.
Really. Well, you're looking to improve yourself as best as possible to make a better quality of life. But again, you're hoping it's going to be an investment for the other people that get spinal cord injured in the future.
Everybody so, and everything, you know, it's so, like, it's so important, you know, a lot of the medical things that they have to deal with. I mean, you know, they had the epidural stimulation was one of the big things that they were doing. That was down in Kentucky from me. Closer to you than would be me. And, you know, now they're doing transcutaneous electrical stimulation over at Kessler here. And by hell or high water, I'm getting involved in that because that's something that just looks phenomenal. You know, it really is. It's just, I don't really think it's an option. I just think it's a moral obligation, you know?
Yes.
As insane as it may seem, I think this injury is damn near divine intervention. Telling me that, you know, you got to do something else. You know, you're wasting your time doing this. I got a better idea for you.
There you go. I can agree with that as well, because I've had people ask me, if you'd have kept walking, where you think you'd be? Well, it doesn't matter what I think ought to be. What could have happened? I could have been living underneath the river bridge, homeless, looking for my next meal. Who knows? Or I could have done something special. Who knows? But we don't know. But I know where I'm at today. And I know what's going on. I'm happy at the outcomes, because when I first got hurt, I was told to be put in a nursing home. And then here, things have been happening. So I'm very pleased of the outcome. The only one thing that I regret, and I don't know if you've ever thought about this or not, is my family having to go through it with me. You know, if it would just be me by myself, that's okay. But they didn't get paralyzed physically, but they got paralyzed emotionally, mentally, you know, with me, and from there.
Extremely difficult. That was the one thing that I was that upset me more than anything else. You know, me, I don't really give a shit about me. It's not really, you know, I've never really been I don't want to sit there and be like, you know, I'm the most selfless, courageous person in the world, because that would be bullshit. But every day and stuff like that, once again, this one right here, this is my concern. You know, I feel horrible for half the stuff that she's been through, because I've only, you know, I was the lucky one. I didn't have to do shit other than just be all busted up. She had to do all the heavy lifting. I have brothers and sisters. I'm the youngest of eight. At one point in time, I was at my sister's house for 96 days. Now, let me tell you something. That was a rather interesting situation. We'll leave that at that. However, with all said and done, she was the one that was left sitting there in the rain, you know, with an umbrella this big and, you know, trying to fight off the raindrops that are attacking me.
Yeah. Now, Jan, she mentioned the caregivers have a tough way to go.
Ooh.
And she's speaking from experience as well, taking care of her sister that's got several issues. Jan's pretty much 24/7 with her
God
sister.
Bless you, Jan.
And so she can speak from experience on that one. So, and Jan, she's a cancer survivor. She's been on my show before.
Oh, all right. I sometimes I don't catch a lot of the live, but I'll go back and, you know, see some of the stuff. And I'll admit, I don't watch all of it, but I'll go through and I'll see things. And if I find that part of the conversation that you're having seems to make me go like, hey, what was that? I'll then in turn go back and I'll watch more. But normally what happens, I'll watch more than I'll be like, oh, what were they talking about before? So I'll watch almost the entire thing. But it's like one of those, you know, I run all over the place just the way I do in normal everyday life.
I hear you. Like, now, I would encourage anyone and everyone, go into the Angry Quad's YouTube channel. It's called The Angry Quad. One video in particular that just wears me out, but I'm so motivated and impressed by it. And I don't remember the title of it. You can tell us, but it's where you're working out on the floor and you're showing everybody your routine, what one day of your routine of exercise is.
Yeah. A lot of the floor training that I did, you know, it's actually started started with her. We were home one day and I was just like, I'm like, babe, you know, because when you go to therapy, they'll put you on like a therapy mat and they roll you around a little bit here, there and everywhere else, which is good and fun. But if you don't live it, this is a lifestyle, you know? So if you don't live it, you're sort of doomed. But we were home one day and I was like, babe, help me on the floor. And she
she says, no problem. And she tilts you out of your wheelchair.
Well, you know, at first she was sort of like,
I remember.
My concern was, she was actually sort of like, how are we getting you back? I was just like, we'll worry about that later. But my concern was if something happened to the chair and there was like a serious emergency problem, I had to get from point A to point B and I would have to get myself out of the chair. I was like, I think this is probably a good thing to, you know, work with. But, you know, it may have taken me over 40 minutes to get from where I was to where I needed to go, but I got there. And just like that, I was just like, you know, this probably wouldn't be a bad idea. And from the time that I first started getting on the floor, one of the videos that I did, one of the first ones, core from the floor. And I actually utilized you got to get the muscles going, Jen. You got to utilize, you know, at the time it was a Hoyer lift to get me on the floor and then back and everything else like that. But I was able to actually use that to do like maybe some curls. I was doing some like modified sit-ups, you know, some oblique crunches and things of that nature. But from there, the more I did that, I realized that I would take that little piece of ability. I would get that little bit of strength. And one of the best things that happens and one of the worst things that happens, because we both know that good and bad comes together and they sort of wear the same clothes, I began to get more confident. Now, confidence and arrogance, they have another tendency to almost walk side by side. You know, you start to get a little cocky and it's almost one of those inevitable things. But, you know, floor training, especially when you're, you know, stretching your hip flexors and, you know, ability. And now she's a yoga teacher and everything else like that. So there's going to be a video coming in a little while of, you know, how yoga also can benefit and everything else. So, you know, it's, you know, floor training. And then from there, off the floor training, I did the series of OTFs, off the floor trainings 1 to 4. And I go through and I show different things that I do, but it's really important, you know, staying, you know, agile, staying, you know, is this is meant to move, you know, we're beings. That's what we do.
That's awesome. That, again, having the confidence in yourself and with her that you can attempt this, because there's, you know, so many people that wouldn't even attempt it. They would just sit and just stare at the floor, much less try to actually do something. So one therapist was telling me one time she had married this guy. He was a quad, and I guess he was maybe not freshly injured, maybe a year into his thing. And she was talking about, you know, just getting so hard that you're making me do everything. You know, you need to start doing stuff for yourself. That's what she was trying to tell him. So she was saying, you know, like if you get on the floor, you're not doing anything to try to help. So one day she come home from work, and then he was trying to get on the floor. And before he'd get down there, he'd reach over and grab three or four pillows off the bed. So he would land there and not hit the floor just by himself. But at least she woke him up to do something. So that was good.
Yeah, I had a therapist used to come over, and she brought a bench with her one day. And she was like, you know, I just want to leave this bench here only because he, you know, it didn't fit in her car or something. There was some reason. And I sat there looking at that stinking thing for a while. I was like, what can I do with that? And then I all of a sudden I realized that I could then in turn get up on it. It was a bitch. It, you know, it wasn't like I floated up. Get up on it. And then I sat there and I'm on the bench going like this, all right, you know, and everything in life is now what? But I realized that if I could set it up by my chair, then I could actually back myself up. And one of the reasons that, I mean, I could use a manual chair, but with a power chair, you know, it locks into place. And I was able to drop the back, and I was able to pull myself back up on the chair. And right there and then I had an epiphany. I was just like, I no longer have to have a Hoyer lift and have to have somebody come and get me. And it opened up a whole new world. You know, yes. I realized that if I wanted to, you know, get on and train whenever I wanted to train, I was golden. And then I realized that if, you know, something happened and my fat ass ended up back on the floor and stuff like that, that even though it would take me a little while, I could crawl myself to wherever I got to go, grab that, and I'd be able to get back up onto the chair, you know. And, you know, once again, very instrumental in helping me with this whole thing. It's just, you know, I would have never even considered the idea, you know, really.
Well, you're very blessed to have a companion, spouse, however you want to put it, that is that dedicated to be with you, to want you to improve, to encourage you to try and do, and be there to aid you any way possible. You're very blessed because, you know, as well as I do, there's plenty of people with spinal cord injury or just whatever disabled. They have just them, and maybe someone's got their families, but usually it's just them. Maybe a caregiver comes in to get them into bed and out of bed or in the shower, and then they're gone the rest of the day. So you're very, very blessed to have that support system.
Well,
I'm very blessed to have him too. And Sean is...
Well, it's a two-way street because
incredibly supportive of anything that, you know, if I want to do something constructive, I want, like a month or so ago, I wanted to take an additional training for it, a certification that I didn't have in yoga for a form of yoga known as Yin yoga, which rather than addressing the muscles, addresses all the ligaments and the fascia and all of that. Yeah. And it was an area I really didn't know anything about. I was like, no, it's even at the kind of discounted price that it was being offered, because my guru is trained under this guy who's one of the big guys in the country, he was offering it to her studio at a reduced cost. It was still a sizable chunk of change for us. You know, I'm a retired teacher now. But Sean was like, you have to do this. You know, this is be a chance to train with somebody you're not going to have a chance to train with again. And it's a whole field of knowledge that you don't know anything about, you know, or very little. I mean, I know the essentials of it or whatever. You know, Sean is constantly
selfishly motivated, just so you know.
There you go. That was me saying that.
Regardless, it's a wonderful thing to feel, you know, a lot of people be like, what do you need that for? You have your 200 hour, you have your children's, you got your prenatal, you got this, you got that. What do you need all these certifications? Because I don't even really teach regularly. I do some teaching here and there, but I do it because I love to learn things and I love the practice of yoga. So
yeah, that was
and a lot of the things.
That was the one thing I was actually sort of happy because, you know, contractures and things of that night, that magnitude that affects quads and other people being in this chair, this is not where we're intended to be. So my attitude was that if you're going to go to school and if you're going to learn how to stretch out tendons, I'm going to learn how to stretch out tendons. So I was just like, absolutely, babe. Go get them for me. I mean, well, you.
Yeah, that's right, for you.
Yeah, not.
But
not
I really, you know, he's incredibly supportive.
Even not with his disability, it for a good situation to take place, it's a two-way street. The give and go, the you know, the understanding, the compromise and everything. But you add the disability into it, now you're in a deeper area than,
right.
I don't know, 20% of the world. You know, a deeper area. And same thing, I've seen several people that their spouse left them because it was too much work. And part of me thinks it's too much work is because that person with a disability didn't do their part to help out. So that's what I think. So, yeah, it's a two-way street, and you're both encouraging and helping each other. That's awesome. So,
yeah. No, it's, you know, it's, I'm always coming up with these crazy ideas, like, you know, the newest thing. I'll show you. This is the thing. I remember I was telling you about the 3D printing thing.
Well, yes.
This is the newest thing that I just came up with and stuff like that. But I drive her insane with these things. You know what I mean? I'm always messing. This is the newest video I'm actually coming up with. I should be done with that this week. Because of her background, she was an art teacher for 1,000 years. She's classically trained.
Oh, she can help you design.
Dude, it's not when it comes to elements of design, we bang heads all the time because her ideas are like they're too technical for me. And I'll have a different idea that will maybe be a little technical for her. But the two ends of the spectrum,
right?
I can talk to her about different things and she can understand and relate to some of these things. And there's things that I'll talk about that, you know, I can sort of teach her and she teaches me. And you know, it's the way it is. It's like when me and you talk about stuff, there are certain things that you do that when we speak, I'm like, you know, I'm forced to think now more so than I ever have because I have the luxury of the time. But as luxurious as it is, once again, it walks hand in hand with you can't get away from your own thoughts. If you're having a bad day, you can't get away from yourself. You're having a good day. Day's not long enough, you know, and she's pretty much the same way. You know, there's days she gets up and she's just like, you can wrap and shit from right to right, you know, and there's just no talking to her. I'm like, ah, yeah, babe, you know, whatever it is. I'll be over here in the corner if you need me, you know. More times than not, you'll see a lot of the videos I do. I'm out in the garage. All right. That's my little sanctuary where I can actually still feel fully functional. Mm-hmm. And start drawing some stuff. And there are times that I'm running away from Mare. You know, I'm not trying to run away, but I'm just like giving her space. And there are times where I'm about as much fun as, you know, pouring hot coffee on your crotch. Same thing.
All right. Yeah. I'm trying to get to the image out on the hot coffee in the crotch spot. So, but I understand because I know I have, let's just say, been in a supervising position at my house when things going, and I put my 2 cents in, and yeah, then they looked at me like, you need to back out. We're doing this, not you.
Yeah.
So yeah, I've been there before. All right, AQ and Mrs. AQ, we're about ready to wrap this up. Sean, if you can give us some type of powerful message that's going to help the next person, whatever they're struggling in, help them get through today, if you can do that for us.
You know, the only thing I can really tell you is do. Don't just succumb. Don't wait. Don't think someone's going to do something. Don't do anything. Apply yourself. Come up with a cohesive plan, an idea. Pursue it. Don't go halfway, whether that be physically, mentally, spiritually, whatever it is. All those things all add up. You know, they seem this small. They don't seem very, you know, very important. But you get all these little things, you know, a castle is built out of multiple rocks. You know, do you ever see like, you know, a little anthill? You know, they're working together. Inside of everybody, we have umpteen personalities. You know, all of our different facets of each one of us you have to bring them together and you have to focus your energy and you have to move on. You have to focus it to, like, you know, if you've ever had a magnifying glass where, you know, you're burning stuff with from the sun or something like that, all that energy goes into one spot. So the focus and understanding where you are, where you want to go, and trying to figure out the road to get there. Do not stop thinking and do not applaud. Do not stop applying your thoughts into action. You know, and also, if at any given time you can get involved in spinal cord injury research, the amount of intelligence you will take from that and you will take away from that, not only just a feeling of wellness, but knowing that you're helping somebody else, invaluable. Just, it's just incredible, you know. And if you get the opportunity to meet somebody like this, well, you know, that'll help you too.
Jan, before we get off, she said, what's Mrs. AQ's name again?
Mary.
Yeah.
Mary?
Yes.
There we go. Well, Mary, nice meeting you. Sean, thank you for blessing us and being on here today. Several people coming in today. Appreciate all of y'all. Frank Marshall. Hey, Frank. Thank you for coming in, brother. I'm sorry you're coming at the end. We're wrapping her up. Frank's been on my podcast before as well.
So I think
his wife passed away. And so he came in and talked about the loss of a spouse. So thank you, Frank, for coming in. Everybody else, Jan, Nancy, John. Oh, shoot, there was that other new fellow. I'm sorry, I forgot your name. But we'll look it up. Thank you, everybody, for coming in. Hey, if you're coming down to replay, be sure to
stay strong.
Five star on there. Give me a five star. I'm not begging a whole lot. Five star on there. I want AQ to, I usually finish off mine saying, do something today, tomorrow, next week, something's going to help you persevere past your paralysis. But I want you to finish today's video on today's podcast on how you finish your videos.
I always just try to, point people in a direction that hopefully they can, you know, take something away from it. And it is, really is, get to work. Stop fucking around.
There you go. That's what I wanted to hear. All right, everybody. Thank you. Take care.
You don't have any options.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to the Professor of Perseverance podcast for motivation, inspiration, and encouragement. For more information, go to Facebook at Professor of Perseverance. Visit the website at professorofperseverance.com and view the YouTube channel, Dr. James Perdue, Professor of Perseverance.